Thank you, worship team. You guys are getting pretty good a cappella. What's going to happen when our guitar player comes back? If he comes back, I don't know. It's, you know what? We put our heart into it. Even if the soundboard, is, for some reason, things happen up there. I know Bud's doing a great job up there. Don't get me wrong, but you know, you can only do so much for the equipment, right? No. I enjoy our worship. I enjoy worship. I enjoy praising God. And as many of you know, when I led worship, I'm not very good at it, but yet, I love it. Worship. It always seems to get, quite often it gets attacked. Because that's one of the most important parts of the warfare that's called Sunday morning church. But God is good. Worthy of our praise. Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord, you are good. Thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you bless your people with your word today. I pray, Lord, that you would touch our lives, change our hearts, work in us and through us. Lord, we come to you seeking what only you can provide. The world doesn't have any answers. The only answer is you. The only answer is you. Lord, I pray that you would open up heaven for us this morning. Bless your people, please. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I was going to be preaching on momentum. And I'm going to add something at the end of this about it. But instead, I'm going to be talking about from a Philippians 2, 12 through 12 and 13. Fear and trembling. Deuteronomy 4, 23 and 24. Take heed unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Hebrews 12:29. For the Lord your God, the Lord our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That means we're supposed to take them seriously. God doesn't like anything lukewarm. He talks about that in Revelation. If we're lukewarm towards him, he's going to spit us out of his mouth. He'd rather we be cold or hot than lukewarm. He doesn't like anything halfway. Fear and trembling. Psalm 55:5, I do have a lot of scripture this morning, which is always good. It speaks better than I can. Psalm 55:5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Ephesians 6:5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling? Does that sound right? We rejoice in knowing the awesomeness of God, so yes, we're going to tremble before him. Just his being, just his everything he is. Philippians 2 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, I may be creating more questions than I am answers this morning. But that means I'm going to give you something to think about, aren't I? Fear. The definition of fear. Everybody knows what fear is, right? Fear, the definition is terror, exceedingly dreadful. When it's applied to God, it means reverential trust, reverence. But it means more than that. It means trembling, quaking, shuddering. When we recognize how awesome our God is, that should be our response, shouldn't it? Of course, we know his love. And we don't forget his love, and that's always important. But our attitude towards him, we should always remember who he is. Not only knowing who he is, but knowing and remembering who we are. You know, Genesis chapter 27, verse 33, there's an example of fear and trembling. A man named Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And he favored the oldest, Esau. And he sent him out to kill a deer, bring it back, and cook him some venison. But Jacob heard about it, and Jacob killed the lamb first and went in first ahead of his brother because he was going to give him the blessing. Jacob wanted the blessing. Jacob got the blessing. He disguised himself with Esau, and Isaac was kind of blind. In fact, I believe he was spiritually blind at that time. Because he forgot what God had said. God had said, the older will serve the younger. I will bless the younger. The blessing was supposed to go to Jacob, the younger. But when Esau came back, Isaac said, who are you? He said it with trembling. The Bible says trembling. I'm Esau, your oldest son. Well, who was that was in here? I gave him the blessing, and he will be blessed. There's a lot of faith involved in that. He knew it was of God. Trembling. God had said what he wanted. Isaac ignored it. God has a purpose, a plan. How often do we attempt to overrule him? We do, don't we? Do you ever do something he doesn't want you to do, or maybe not do something he wants you to do, and then you realize what you've done? What do you experience? Fear and trembling, don't you? It's just, oh Lord, what did I do? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, there's two groups of people. There's one group of people that speak of God's power to preserve his people. Another group insists we have to work to be preserved, which is true. Anytime I hear a dispute or an argument, or I hear one side of the story, then I hear the other, I got to figure that the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? Is that true with this? Well, this might surprise you. The Bible says both are true. Listen to me all the way through what I'm saying. God has the power, but we have the responsibility. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What does that mean? We are told in God's word, in James 1:27, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. 1 John 5:21, to keep ourselves from idols. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, to abstain from all appearance of evil. Jude 1:21, to keep ourselves in the love of God. God's word tells us to preserve ourselves. The Holy Spirit affirms that we actually do so. We wouldn't be able to do it without his help, would we? In Psalm 17:4, it says, concerning, this is David speaking, concerning the works of men by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Psalm 18:23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Psalm 119:101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Well, that's the Old Testament. Should we look in the New Testament? We always should look in all the Bible, right? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Castaway, that means disapproved, disqualified. Is that talking about salvation? No, it's talking about when he preaches to others. In other words, that's our witness. If we live like the world, they're not going to want to listen to us, are they? And God is not honored by that. And we should always make sure that we're doing everything we can to honor God. 1 John 5:18, the apostle said, he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Is God giving us a reason to boast? 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. He continues, and his grace was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Was Paul taking credit? No. He goes on to say, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Without God's grace, what are we? I don't even want to think about what I was. Colossians 1:29, I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. One of my favorite writers is Arthur W. Pink. I quote him quite a bit, and I'm going to quote him again. Grace is given to us to make use of, yet grace is required to use it. You only read that again? I'm going to. Grace is given to us to make use of, yet grace is required to use it. I see a lot of jaws dropping out there. I know mine is. We can only work out our own salvation with fear and trembling as he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, we don't stop trying just because he's working in us and he's providing the changes. We still have to work towards those things, don't we? There's three things to consider. Number one, a Christian has his whole salvation accomplished for him, and yet he is to work it out. Number two, a Christian has everything done in him by God, and yet he has to work. Number three, a Christian has a salvation secured for him, and yet he is to fear and tremble. Those contradictions? There's no contradictions with God, is there? Do grace and works needed to be saved? Faith without works is dead. What does that mean? Who is Paul talking to? Christians. In Philippians 2:12, he refers to them as the beloved that always obey. In Philippians 1:1, he says he is addressing all the saints in Christ in Philippi. Paul isn't talking about getting saved. He's speaking of the whole salvation process. There are three tenses to salvation. There's past, present, and future. You know, I was reading in Isaiah 53 this morning. I love Isaiah 53. It's a good account, a description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But if you read that, and I hope you do, it's past, present, and future. It talks about what he's done, what he is doing, what he will do, all through it. You know, God is timeless, isn't he? Three tenses to salvation, past, present, and future. We have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. It says that specifically in the Bible. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. When that thief recognized who Jesus was and who he was when he was on that cross, he was saved instantly. And he went to heaven. Jesus said he did. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. But we are being saved from the power of sin. And we will be saved from the presence of sin. He is perfecting us, yet he tells us to be perfect. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You notice it says, your own. You can't work out somebody else's salvation for them. You can pray for them, and of course we should. But everybody has to go through that themselves. If you're a Christian, you should strive to complete the process. You should always work to be a better Christian. You know, when James talks about faith without works is dead, if you read the context, you'll see he's speaking of, show me your works. And I'll believe you have faith. A lot of it has to do with our witness to others. If there aren't works in our life, then who's going to want it? If we don't show the proof that there's a difference in us, no one's going to want it. And I've mentioned many before, and I'm going to mention again, that all the sermons that I ever heard didn't do it for me. It was seeing it working in somebody else's life. It provoked me to jealousy because people are watching. As soon as they find out you're a Christian, they watch you very closely. Maybe they're, well, in most cases, they're waiting for you to mess up. And sometimes we don't disappoint them, right? But so we have to work to be a better Christian. Do we do this in our own strength? No. We do it in God's strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, a big part of fear and trembling is actually our distrust of our own power. And we should, shouldn't we? says in the Bible to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Recognize who you are. Recognize your limitations. Even Dirty Harry talked about that, didn't he? A man's got to know his limitations. That's true. But we have to remember God's awesomeness. He has no limitations. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul, one of the most godly people that ever lived. The thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Be perfect. That's simple. He says that's what he wants from us. Just be perfect, Gretchen. You know, anytime I see that, I think of the word sincere. It means more than that. But that's what, personally, that's what comes to me. Sincere. God wants us to be real. He wants us to be honest. He wants us to be open. He wants us to talk to him about our limitations, about our failings. But he wants us to also talk to ourselves about it. Be perfect. I'm not satisfied with what I am. Raise your hand if you're satisfied with where you are in your walk with God. I don't see any hands going up, and they shouldn't be. Because we should never be satisfied. Be perfect. That's the goal that is set for us. That's what we strive for. That's what we want. Even Paul. I haven't arrived. I haven't attained. I'm not there yet. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, I am talking about momentum, aren't I? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press on. We press in. We press forward. We move forward. Constantly. That song, Daily Walking with You. Daily. It's not something you do once. It's something you do every day. You do it early in the morning. You get up, you start it, and you continue it. You can't have momentum until you start something, so we need to start something. Sometimes things have to end before you can start. Whatever it takes, that's what we have to do. You know, maybe it's all about what's in your heart. Maybe it's about taking him very seriously. Maybe it's about not being lukewarm to him. I don't ever want to be lukewarm to him. Was he lukewarm to you? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know what amazes me about that verse? Well, quite a few things, actually. But he went to the cross. But he didn't just go to the cross. He endured it. He stayed on it. At any time, he said that he could call down 12 legions of angels. A legion is somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 troops. One angel can wipe out 185,000 people. Jesus didn't have to stay on that cross. Why did he do it? For joy. for the joy he has for you, Terry. And everybody else. He endured the cross. 6 hours. Everybody hold your hands up in the air. Now keep them there for 6 hours. You can put... Wow, some people are taking me literally. Wow. Like Moses. Aaron and Hur. Helping him. Jesus loves you. I remember our friend George passed away a few years ago, but the last year that he was alive. You know, he'd get that George smile on his face. Everybody that knows George knows what I'm talking about. And he started, it was impressed on him to everybody he met to tell them that. And he'd get that smile and he'd say, Jesus loves you. Maybe we should do that more. Because people need to know that. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you could love sinners like us. That for the joy set before you, you endured the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you do work in us. That the work you've started in us, you're faithful to complete. Lord, I thank you that you know I'm a work in progress. But progress, may that progress continue until I'm everything you want me to be. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement in it and the instruction in it and the conviction in it, because I need all three. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you bless your people today. I pray that you keep us all safe. Keep us close to you. And bring us back safely when we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you everybody for coming. That concludes our service tonight at 6 o'clock.